Why are the global elite warning us not to be afraid of the painful global transition?
Believe it when I tell you, these people don't care about any of us. They're just a bunch of globalists hanging out and coming up with too many bad ideas.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with Michelle Bachmann about the devious plans of the global elite. From the World Health Organization to the World Economic Forum, men and women in dark, smoke-filled rooms are planning a future that lacks freedom and capitalism. Will the Christian even see the fruit of their ambitions? What are the biblical implications? We'll talk about that this hour.
Rand Paul, Kentucky Senator, and he joins me now. Should the American people be scared when the richest people in the entire world get together at a swanky conference and hatch these crazy ideas about how to make our lives better?
Well, you know, if they really cared, they could have ridden with me. I was on a plane this morning. I was A category on Southwest Airlines. And, you know, hey, that's something. Wasn't a private jet, but they could have saved. When you're on a private jet, they're spending five times as much of a carbon footprint. So if they really cared about that, they could ride on commercial airlines, but they aren't. They're elitist. But the other real danger here that's even more danger than all their phony caring about carbon footprint, the real danger is this. Look how bad your government is in a country where you get to vote for these people. This would be a government, a world government, where you don't get to vote on anybody. This is everybody's worst nightmare. The bureaucracy that we have trouble in our United States because we don't get to vote on them, we vote indirectly. Can you imagine the one world bureaucracy of all these elitists and their private jets that would rule our country and we wouldn't get to vote? So I'm dead set against this. And they used to call people who talked about one world government, they used to say, oh, it's a conspiracy. We would always say, no, it's in their mission statement. They say it at every meeting. That's what they're for. But lack of sovereignty means lack of freedom, and it means lack of responsiveness, and it's completely antithetical to everything our country stands for.
Glad you can join me on Understanding the Times Radio today. I have a special hour. It's a little bit Part B from last weekend with Mark Hitchcock and Jeff Kinley, where we talked about the global reset. This hour, I have in studio with me the familiar voice of Michelle Bachmann. And let me just say by way of introduction here, and by way of clarification, and we're going to hit so many issues, I'm going to ask you to try to really listen up. But the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, as has been mentioned previously, both met the same week in the same country, about 300 miles apart, in Switzerland. They even had some similar goals. One of them, obviously, the rush to one world government. You know, I talk about that heavily on this program. That's because it's so on the horizon. I feel the four horsemen are out of the barn, but they can't come on the scene, folks, until the church is gone. How late are we? Well, we'll talk about some of that as well. Attendees to the World Economic Forum, there were about 2,500 of the world's very top leaders. We could call them the global elite. We'll probably even name some here as we get into the programming. But keep in mind, at the same time, the World Health Organization was meeting not very far away, same country, same type of scheming going on there. So to help me sort this out, and it is a puzzle to be sure, Michelle Bachmann has graciously come back to the studio of Olive Tree Ministries. Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Jan, thank you so much. This really is an exciting topic that we get to cover because what we're talking about is Globalist Week. In the entire year, this was Globalist Week like we've never seen. Normally, the World Economic Forum, headed up by Klaus Schwab, your listeners are probably well aware of who he is and the Great Reset. They normally meet annually in January. However, they didn't meet in January this year. Conveniently, they met the exact same week as the World Health Assembly, which is the governing body of the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization is nothing more than the healthcare arm of the United Nations. The meeting in Geneva, Switzerland was a United Nations meeting, and the meeting in Davos, Switzerland was by the self-appointed elites of the world, the Bill Gates of the world, Klaus Schwab, the George Soros. They met in Geneva, Switzerland. So both meetings were 3 hours apart. But both of them had very similar goals, and that is to put the world on a plane toward world government.
Some other topics that they covered at World Economic Forum, climate was just huge. I mean, that seems to be the new religion. I talked about digital currency, and I've covered that on air here for the last month, talking about carbon footprints again being tracked. They're talking about surveillance, and some might say that it's nothing new. We've been surveilled for years. I believe they came up with a surveillance budget of well over $2 billion. So these are just some of the issues that were discussed, at least at World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. Let's play this one clip here of Mr. Schwab stating that he and his organization is going to improve the state of the world and that the future is built by them.
The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world, but two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities, that we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility. The future is built by us.
You actually even have a list, Michelle, of some of the attendees of this meeting in Davos. Some of the names are quite disappointing, to be honest. Some no surprise at all. My congressman was there from Minnesota.
That's true. And I just wanted to go back on what Klaus Schwab had said. Mm-hmm. He also stated in his remarks, the future isn't just happening. The future is built by us. So what he's saying is, all of these events that are happening across the globe, this isn't random. We're intending that we're going to build this new structure, this new world order. And it's done by those of us in this room, the 2,600 people who were there in Davos, Switzerland. Of course, the attendees, the names change, but it's pretty much the same stakeholder crowd that comes in. And when he's talking about community, he's not talking about you, Jan, or the listeners, or me. The community are those 2,600 people in that room. It's their best interests that are being served. So they're trying to create a global community that effectively serves them. So you're right. To me, what was shocking, I've got two documents here. I've shown them to you. People can find it online, the World Economic Forum annual meeting. There's a list of the participants, about 2,600. The listeners would recognize these people. It's major league banks like JP Morgan Chase, Citi, the BlackRock group is there, the Deutsche Bank, but also companies like Microsoft, big news like CBS News, Arab News, IBM Corporation, healthcare conglomerates like Kaiser Permanente, Gulfstream Aerospace Corporation. Huge corporations were there because huge corporations want to be selling control. There's two big narratives that came out of this, both out of the UN's World Health Organization meeting, but also out of the World Economic Forum meeting. And the two big messages that came out that really fit together like hand in glove, it was big global control of our lives, the rank and file, not their lives. And they're giddy about it. They're happy about it. They're all clacking about their plans and what they've got rolling down the road. Mind you, they didn't ask permission. They're just doing this, the control that they want to have over our lives. And a lot of these businesses want to be the ones who are selling the means of control. But the other narrative that kept coming out from both the World Health Organization and from the World Economic Forum is the big shut up, the big global censorship. The fact that they want to censor our voices from disagreeing with their plans for control. So their plan is to control our information, our movements, tracking what we do. That's what they want to buy and sell so they can control us. But they also want to take away our ability to be able to resist their plans and to be able to speak against their plans. That's why these were the two main stories that came out of Big Global. Big Global is giddy, and they're almost raising their fist in rebellion as victors, that they are victorious in how they're putting all of these big plans into effect for controlling our lives. but also they're giddy about the fact that they've got all their ways and further ways of how they're going to shut down our voices from resisting and coming against them. And you'd asked me about the people who were attending this, and it really is quite shocking. As I looked through this whole list of all the people who came, the biggest delegation was from the United States.
Yes.
And everyone should be ashamed that they attended this meeting. As I told you, Jan, it would take a 25-year-old staffer 3 minutes to figure out this is a globalist organization whose goal is essentially the control of people and one world government. So the people who attended were people like John Kerry and Al Gore, and also our Secretary of Commerce, but also congressmen. So from all over the United States, there was a Democrat congressman, Bill Keating from Massachusetts, from Pennsylvania, Dan Muser, from Pennsylvania, Madeline Dean, from California, Ted Lieu, a Republican woman from Missouri, Ann Wagner, a senator from Delaware, Chris Coons, Daryl Issa, who's a congressman from California, Republican, your member of Congress, Dean Phillips, Deb Fisher, who's senator from Nebraska, a Republican, was there, Republican governor from Indiana, Eric Holcomb, from New York, a Democrat congressman, Greg Meeks, from Colorado, the senator, a Democrat, John Hickenlooper, the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, from Texas, the Republican congressman who used to be the head of Homeland Security, Mike McCall, from Pennsylvania, the senator, Pat Toomey, Vermont, Democrat Senator Pat Leahy, Democrat Senator Robert Menendez from New Jersey, Republican Senator Roger Wicker from Mississippi, Democrat Congressman Seth Moulton from Massachusetts, Democrat Senator from Rhode Island, Sheldon Whitehouse, Ted Deutch, Congressman of Florida, Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, and Al Gore. That's who went from the United States. And these senators, these governors, these members of Congress, they all need to answer. Were they for the message of controlling our lives? Were they for the message of censoring our speech? I'm shocked at the Republicans who attended. But this is very concerning. And every member of Congress needs to be asked before this election, are you for the globalists or are you for my constitutional freedoms here in the United States?
Klaus Schwab said something. I actually raised this last week with my guests. I'm going to raise it with you as well. Schwab made a startling statement here recently. Again, folks, these meetings that we're talking about were the last week of May. So we're out from that now, 10 days or so. And Klaus Schwab said this. The headline I'm reading, and it was on Breitbart. Klaus Schwab pledges the world can find salvation at Davos. Now think about that for a minute, folks. Here we have the dark side saying that the world can find salvation through some very, very evil people, practices, and principles. And he goes on to say this, quote, the return of war, epidemics, and the climate crisis, all those disruptive forces have derailed the global recovery. Schwab, the forum's executive chairman, told journalists in an almost biblical prognostication ahead of the convention start. And then Schwab continues, those issues must be confronted in Davos. Then they were. And the global food crisis in particular needs our immediate attention, he added. And then he concludes that if the world will look to Davos and to the leaders that are participating, some of whom you just read, Michelle, that the world will find salvation thanks to their meeting, again, last week of May 2022. It doesn't get any stranger.
That's right. And unpacking that statement that you just read, first of all, we recognize God will not be mocked.
That's right.
Klaus Schwab, at this point, he's trying to bring attention to himself. And again, as we stated earlier, this is exactly like Satan in the Garden of Eden when he lifts up his fist in rebellion and says, who are you, God? Or like what he said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? He is putting himself up above a holy God. And after all, who is he? He's not elected to anything. He created this organization in the 1970s. He's not elected to anything. If we have a food crisis in the United States, we have to solve it in the United States. This is not an organization with elective powers. But at this point, they're so arrogant and full of themselves. They're saying, hey, world, come to us for your salvation. We've got the global plan. We're going to figure it out. And after all, when you look at the list of the people who are attending,
yes,
it's the people with all the money. It's the people with all the power. They're not elected, but they have power from their own organizations. Bill Gates has a lot of money. Well, he has a lot of power through his foundation, but he's not elected.
That's right.
They're completely bypassing democracy. As a matter of fact, at the World Economic Forum, they're having a funeral for democracy, because they could care less what we think or what we want or what our elected officials think. These guys have put themselves in charge, and they're doing that by bypassing government and by putting things into effect by their mandates through companies.
Here's another headline, WND headline, Davos elites warn nations not to resist painful global transition. Going to say that again, folks. Davos elites warn nations not to resist these painful global transitions. It goes on to say, echoing President Biden's comments to European leaders at the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos. Again, this is almost 2 weeks ago, folks. Described the record gas prices as part of a painful period of transition to alternative energy that should not be resisted. German Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck, as Summit News reported, said Monday that governments should not seek to protect their citizens from the consequences. Norwegian finance CEO Kirsten Brothen described the energy crisis as a transition full of hardship, but insisted the pain is worth it. Biden, meanwhile, said Monday that the pain at the pump was part of an incredible transition of American economy away from oil and natural gas. Point being, Michelle, is these people are trying to force something on the world that's obviously causing huge consequences, but we're not supposed to resist this painful transition. This is leftist lunacy.
It's leftist lunacy, but it is also delusion,
yes,
and lies.
Yes.
It's the epitome of lies. These are self-appointed.
Yes.
They're not elected. These are self-appointed people who are so full of themselves because they have unbelievable amounts of money and they run gigantic global corporations. And they think, because of their money and their positions, that they can tell the governments of the world, the 194 individual nation states of the world, don't resist. Do what we tell you to do. Don't protect your people. Do you hear what that statement was that Jan just read? Don't try to protect your people. Is it painful? Yeah. But we're going with the green agenda. We're going to have AOC tell us what to do. And the green agenda is you don't get to use oil and gas. You don't get to use coal. You don't get the abundant energy that God has gifted the world. Instead, you only get to use the energy that we tell you that you're going to get to use. They recognize we're dying out here. We're miserable. Our inflation is a dragon right now because the very first thing Joe Biden did on his first day in office was to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. And since then, he's been canceling energy leases all across the United States. He's been drying up American energy. Mm-hmm. Every year, a report comes out. The report says the United States of America has more energy resources than almost the other nations combined. We've got it right here. President Trump allowed us to utilize that for the first time and legalize American energy production. And why not? And that's why gas got below $2 a gallon. It's why our economy thrived the best it ever had in the history of the United States of America. Just the opposite is happening under Biden because he's going along with the World Economic Forum plans.
Right.
He's doing exactly what the United Nations wants us to do, what the World Health Organization wants us to do, and what Klaus Schwab and the Great Reset wants us to do. Joe Biden is the enforcer. He's enforcing what these guys want us to do. If he goes along with it, if this is his political will, if he's not resisting, then the World Economic Forum's big ideas are going to go into effect. But I'll tell you what, it's a world of misery for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Because our shelves are scarce. You can't get baby formula. Gas is going crazy. Now they're talking about global famines. These are man-created disasters, created by the global elites at the World Economic Forum. They are creating this misery on purpose so that we are forced to go into their global system of control And then they're taking away our ability to be able to communicate with each other in the big shut up, the big control, and the big shut up globally.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me Michelle Bachman. Michelle has been very, very active here in the last few weeks, and we're going to get to part B of our conversation here in a moment. And that concerns the World Health Organization and what they've been up to recently. But first, a very sad reminder, the fraud and phony things going on YouTube with our programs being stolen, altered, content changed, perhaps raising money for themselves. So just look for the channel that has 163,000 subscribers, and then you know it is our channel, okay? 163,000 subscribers. Just look for that. That is our YouTube channel that you can rely on. Michelle, you made me aware of a comment by Helen Clark. Helen Clark is the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, approximately 2000 to 2010. I'm going to play a 30-second clip here. This is at the World Economic Forum, and she's talking here about COVID. And she's basically saying, hey, folks are kind of burned out on this topic. What are we going to do to get their focus back on it?
The reality is that political resolve to fight COVID is waning. Popular support for measures is waning. People are over COVID. The problem is it's not done with us, but we're in danger of losing this moment for transformative change. And let's face it, the package of things that has to happen is trans-sector, and there hasn't yet been an effort to try and bring together a head of state and government level focus on the range of things that needs to be done. We said this needs a special session at the General Assembly.
What is Helen Clark saying here other than she's right, we're tired and bored of COVID?
And she's also saying that here at the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland, we've been talking about all of the different measures that we're trying to put into effect for this transformation. For instance, Bill Gates saying that he wants global governance to be in charge of lockdowns. Bill Gates saying that he is hiring 3,000 people for the next pandemic so they can allegedly correct misinformation that people are trying to put out. In other words, the big shut up, the big censorship about speech. Or the story that came out at the World Economic Forum that Germany and the World Health Organization has already contracted with a German company that's in the process now of designing a one-world global digital passport that will control all of our vaccine information that will have to be used if you want to travel. Or, for instance, the president of Alibaba, which is the communist Chinese answer to our American Amazon Corporation. The president of Alibaba, who, by the way, is an American, who is the spokesman for this Chinese communist organization, Alibaba, he is saying that we're going to have a tracking device put on our phones so that all of us will have to register our global carbon footprint. In other words, how much energy are we using so that our lives will be controlled through how much carbon we're either allowed to use or we have used. So our health care would be controlled electronically, presumably through a smartphone, as our movements would be through tracking globally, as would the digital money that we would be allowed to have and the digital ID. So they're talking about all of this at the World Economic Forum. They're excited. They're telling about all the active measures that they're currently doing. But then the former Prime Minister of New Zealand says, time out, everybody. What we really have to do is we have to have the UN at its General Assembly meeting. Somebody has to put all the pieces together. They have to take what Bill Gates is saying through his foundation money. They have to take what different heads of nations have tried to do. And they have to take what different businesses are trying to do or what the social media companies are trying to do. We need to take each of our little piece of the puzzle of ending capitalism and ending freedom and then get us over to transition over the wall so we can get to, they won't say it out loud, but what they mean is active Marxism, so that the world will be run by active Marxism, just like they run communism through China, they run communism through Russia. It's through a global level of control and through censorship of speech, we got to get this all together. We got the pieces. Now we got to put them together. That's what she's saying.
I just want to build for a moment on the comment about our carbon footprints, the tracking, and that's going to be going on.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
This is part of our future.
That's why I say they're giddy. Yeah. They're really excited. They're putting all of these pieces into play. So big banking, big media, big social media, big business, they all want to be the sellers of this global tracking and this global control. And these are not small companies. These are the biggest companies in the world that are represented. You had a lot of heads of state that are there. It is big media. Everybody's on board with what? Big global. And the message is big control, big censorship. They think this is a great idea. And that's why I'm screaming from the housetops, what was wrong with the American delegation?
Yes.
What was wrong with these Republicans who showed up, with these Democrats who showed up? There's no statement from any of them saying that they object to big global wanting to have control of their constituents' lives. I want to have a shout out right now. Where is Kevin McCarthy, the Republican head of the House? Where is Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat control of the House? Where is Chuck Schumer, the control of the Senate? Where is Mitch McConnell, the minority leader of the Republicans in the Senate? Where are those four leaders shouting from the housetops, you are not going to override the U.S. Constitution. We're going to stand up for American freedom and American rights. Remember, the Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. It guarantees every one of your listeners, you have the right to freedom of speech and expression. You have the right to religious worship. You have the right to petition your government for your redress of grievances. All rights that weren't specifically given to Congress are with you, the individual. So all of these rights are being trampled upon by the World Economic Forum, and these members of Congress have their fingers in their ear. They're doing nothing about it. What is wrong with our leadership? That is the only question for this upcoming election. Whether you are Democrat or whether you are Republican, are you going to go along with this? Are you going to oppose this? And I will say, I am absolutely disgusted that for the last 2.5 years, members of Congress stood by, and President Trump began it at the outset of COVID when we really didn't know what we were dealing with. But President Biden has put it to a whole different level, utilizing emergency powers. Do you know that today we are still operating under emergency powers? It's because President Biden used emergency powers, governors took emergency powers, mayors took emergency powers. Congress didn't pass vaccine mandates, mask mandates, lockdowns. It was emergency powers that Joe Biden used, that governors used, that mayors used. They used emergency powers so much that they shut businesses down. They shut schools down. They kept kids at home. We wrecked the U.S. economy
because of
emergency powers. That's what Joe Biden tried to do, give emergency powers to the Director General of the World Health Organization. But it's emergency powers that has killed this nation for 2.5 years. Where was the Congress opposing this? Where were the Republicans? Where were the Democrats? They should have said, we aren't giving you one more vote. We aren't giving you one more dollar to spend, President Biden, until you give up your emergency powers. You governors, you give up your emergency powers. You mayors, you give up your emergency powers. It is frightening. I will tell you what has been wrought in the last 2.5 years. In fact, I can't verify this is true, but I read this in an article that said 80% of the currency currently in circulation in the U.S. today was printed in the last 2 years. If you want to know why we have inflation in this country, that's why. Because our government printed it up truly funny money and handed it out to everyone. And now we're in the mess we're in with inflation. That's why we have to cancel emergency powers.
You're listening to The Voice of Michelle Bachmann. We're trying to cover two topics this hour, and they're very related. They met at the same time in the same country, World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization, last week of May in Switzerland. And let me just quickly slip in here that this past week we had a great evening with Mark Hitchcock and Jeff Kinley talking about some very similar issues. And that would have been at our bi-monthly Understanding the Times mini conference we have 6 times a year here in a suburb of Minneapolis, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, with co-hosts Mark Henry and yours truly, talking about the global reset. Do current events point to the Antichrist and his worldwide empire? We have a DVD of that event. Just give us 4 or 5 more days for editing of the DVD, and it will be ready online. Go to olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and then to video. It's available at markhenryministries.com. Let me take this opportunity to announce our next event, Thursday, August the 4th. And our guest will be my in-studio guest, Michelle Bachmann, Thursday, August the 4th. And again, just go to events at olivetreeviews.org. There's no cost for any of this, folks. First come, first serve, or watch it online at markhenryministries.com. And I think, Michelle, let's just transition a little bit here. And I'm going to go to a question that I think some listeners may be thinking right now, even though I think we're quite passionate in what we're saying. But they're asking, what you're talking about, how does it affect me directly? They're saying, I'm battling inflation. I can't even find baby formula for my little kid. I've got everyday stresses. What has Ukraine and Russia, World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, what has that to do with me coping on a day-to-day basis?
What it has to do is they're the architects of the current misery that people are experiencing. They're the architects of the way that COVID was mishandled, that our government locked us down. World Economic Forum policies, even though they aren't elected, their policies are what has been implemented not only just in America, but across the world. And the way it has been implemented is through extraordinary actions that are not through law, that aren't under the Constitution, but were implemented through emergency powers. For this government to print up our president through the Federal Reserve and through the Treasury Department, they just said, let's increase the money supply by $6 trillion. That has caused this problem with inflation. And by our president saying, we're just going to shut down American energy production, that caused the price of gas to skyrocket. And the Biden administration, through the FDA, they went into the largest baby formula plant in Michigan, and they shut that plant down for 3 months, knowing that that plant supplied over 40% of all baby formula in the United States. They had no backup plan, and they had no plan to even reopen the plant up. The Biden administration caused this. I'm not being partisan when I say that. They've made these decisions intentionally. And isn't it interesting that these decisions are 100% completely in line with the plans that have been outlined by the participants who are a part of the World Economic Forum and at the United Nations, yes, through their various arms, one being healthcare. Because remember, the way these extraordinary things even came about was under the guise of healthcare, COVID. It was because of COVID that the American economy was ruined, that we have inflation today, that people have died because of the responses and reactions that have happened by our government. We need to understand that. And so now that issue of potential pandemics and emergency powers through the International UN World Health Organization, they want to empower them to have the power to lock down, like Bill Gates said, yep, at the international level. And that's going to impact all of us if that happens. So not only were we impacted through emergency powers here at the national level, at our state level, and in our city level by our mayors, now the effort at the World Health Organization, which is the branch of the UN, yep, and the World Economic Forum, is to empower international figures to shut us down, in effect, piercing through our constitutional protections and empowering these international individuals. And it's our President Joe Biden who wants to empower these people at the international level.
I want to just insert something here before we transition, and that is some words of encouragement. And you and I talked off air about this as well, because what we're saying is we've got mankind out of control. We've got these agencies out of control because they're lusting for power, etc. But at the end of the day, the words of the Bible are leaping out at all of us. And if we're paying attention, and if the pulpits are addressing these current event issues of our day, and that is, we're seeing, and I've referenced it as we opened the program, we're seeing the Antichrist kingdom becoming established. Now, the church is not going to see the Antichrist kingdom. And folks, when I say the church, that's not a building. That's a body of believers who have taken Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, which means you could be a part of that body very easily by just doing exactly that. So what we're seeing is a run-up to the very end of days scenario outlined in Daniel, in Revelation, Matthew 24, so many places, dozens of places actually. In a way, even though it's difficult to read and watch all these things happen, it's still a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this.
Amen. And there was an issue that people learned a lot about in late April and all throughout May. Yeah. And it was the fact that President Biden was proposing 13 amendments for this meeting in Geneva, Switzerland. And so the United States was introducing to the World Health Assembly, which is the governing body of the WHO, World Health Organization, which is the healthcare arm of the UN. He was proposing that all of the countries of the world would empower the Director General of the World Health Assembly and give him these emergency powers. But a Gideon's army of people heard about this. They said, hey, I've lived through 2.5 years of these emergency powers. I see how this has wrecked my life here in America. I certainly don't want to give this level of power and authority to the United Nations. Well, I want to thank this audience. I want to thank people across the United States who melted the phone lines, who called their senators and representatives and said, please don't let this happen. They also sent up prayers. There were people praying all over the United States and all over the world. Here's the good news that happened. A proposal was adopted. It wasn't the 13 amendments originally proposed by President Biden. This was as of close of business on Friday, May 27th. What was adopted in the committee was a proposal, and the proposal created a working group. They're going to meet in November of 2022. And this working group is going to presumably come up with mischief and different ways that they want to empower the Director General of the World Health Organization. And then 4 months before the group meets again next May, they'll have to offer their amendments again. So the bottom line is, it looks like we dodged a bullet.
Yes.
The amendments that the Biden administration was proposing, it looks like they did not get adopted. And in fact, they have to kick the can down the road, establish a working group, and try another run at this next year. That is praise and glory to God. So we should have started the show with that, that we praise God. We thank God because God has not abandoned us. He hears us when we cry. His banner over us is love. So as this threat came out of nowhere, the Gideon's army, the body of Christ, heard about this threat. They let each other know. They let their public officials know. They cried out to the one who can really do something about this, which is a holy God. God moves sovereignly, and we can rejoice that as of close of business on Friday, May 27th, these amendments didn't pass. And in fact, they were reduced to putting together a working group meeting in November to have another try at this again next year. So we can praise God and realize that the promises in the Bible are so true that God will not allow his children to beg bread. And so we need to look at the Bible and let his words leap off the page into our minds and realize he is for us. He is not against us. People at the World Economic Forum who might be raising their fist against a holy God in arrogant rebellion, they can have their plans, like Psalm 2 says. They can have their plans against the Lord and his anointed, but it is God who sits on his throne. It is God who laughs. He is the one that we appeal to.
I perceive Michelle, and Michelle Bachman is my guest for the hour, uninterrupted hour this week. I perceive that our economic misery that you were citing and relating moments ago isn't an accident. It's a plan, because
it's 100% planned. Yeah, it didn't have to happen. We were sitting on top of the moon
here.
When Donald Trump was in, we were sitting on top of the moon before COVID.
The left doesn't want us to drive. They don't want us to buy a home. They don't even want us to have a hamburger, for that matter. And there are predictions now that gas will go to $7 a gallon, $8 a gallon, and more. The Biden administration has worked hard to raise these energy prices, as you alluded to, so that socialism starts looking better every day. And whoever's pulling the strings, this has been the plan for a long time. They just needed some of the useful leftist idiots who are in power. And by the way, if I can just say, some of the most incompetent men and women ever known to public service serving in that administration. It's a tragedy. And I'm just transitioning something because I think it's an elephant in the room if we don't talk about it. But it's this leftist thinking, this leftist, if I can borrow the word again, delusional thinking that says after every mass shooting, guns are at fault. No, if I can interject, it is man's sinful nature that is at fault. But of course, the left doesn't believe in God, so they know nothing about sin. So now they're seizing their opportunity to remake the world. Gun control is being discussed. As a matter of fact, the short message Mr. Biden gave right after the tragedy in Texas was shocking beyond words. I saw it live. Could not believe what I was hearing. It was all about confiscating guns or the danger of guns, which are so essential to a community protecting itself. Your thoughts?
Well, of course, because this shows what cruel monsters these people really are, because they don't care about harm to people. What they care about is advancing their political interests. And the number one thing that the United States has is the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. And millions of Americans, for self-protection, have guns, and they keep and they bear arms. Australia doesn't. Many people across the world have no means of self-protection. We have that. That's a gift that our founders gave to us. And the radical left, the minute they can get rid of guns, they know that it's all over for the United States citizen, for freedoms, because they don't want to have to encounter the pushback that they would get from the people. But let's take a look again. We're finding out more and more as the weeks go by after this terrible tragedy in the Texas elementary school. The one thing that we do know is that this was a very troubled boy who was 18 who came in and did this thing. And had there been good guys with guns at that building, perhaps not one person would have lost their life. But that was a problem. We won't just take up our time with that particular incident. There's too many of these incidents that happen. But we're at a time now when we have people who are really unbalanced. A lot of mentally ill people, a lot of people who are demon-possessed, and they're acting based upon that demon possession. It's, again, one more reason why we need to be in prayer, and one more reason why the scripture's pointing to the time clock, God's time clock of where we are at in history. All the Bible is, it is a book of history, a book of present, and the book of the future. And it's telling us where we're headed. And according to the scripture, we are coming to that culmination point in history. And so we have to be very wise about these days that we live in. And we can rejoice because Jesus is even at the door. It's why it's imperative for us to get our lives together before the Lord. There's 10 virgins and 5 have their lamps filled and their wicks trimmed and they're ready to go. And that's where we need to be. And as pastors, I want to encourage pastors, be preaching and teaching about the times that we live in and what the Bible says about end times. None of it is to scare us. Every bit of it is to encourage us that, yes, God brings judgment upon the earth, but just like with Noah and his family, he is there to rescue us and to redeem us. And our future is a life of redemption. We will be redeemed to a perfect relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where we will live with him for all of eternity. Is there any better news than that? So this temporary misery that mankind is unleashing upon the earth, it is merely only temporary, but God is the victor. This is a good news story with a good news ending. And our champion, our victor, our savior is redeeming us. He calls all men to come to him. All have sinned, all have fallen short, but all can come and receive a living Savior who will rescue us out of this mess.
Michelle is Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University, Robertson School of Government. And I encourage you to keep up with some of the seminars she presents online. And you can find those at the Regent University website, regent.edu. And then look for some of the various conferences that she's put on there.
We have regent.edu/election integrity, regent.edu/9/11, regent.edu/globalism on rising authoritarianism.
Yes, and I played clips extensively from particularly the last conference she referenced there. Michelle, in keeping with what you just summed up here moments ago, I'm going to play a clip. It's of Naomi Wolf. The only reason I'm playing this clip, Naomi, to my knowledge, is a Jewish unbeliever whose eyes are getting open in various ways, politically and I believe spiritually. And here she's going to say in this brief clip that she's watching the world, particularly some of the things recently that have transpired. And because she's seeing such a rise of evil, she, who I believe has been likely an atheist, is now saying there must be a God. And I believe there are many that are thinking this way.
I've also, to be quite honest, reached a kind of dead end with thinking that human beings alone can get out of this, in the sense that the level of evil that I trace is so complex and so sophisticated and so global, it seems to me to be beyond human skill. So I actually think that in addition to a material and a physical battle, I personally think there's also a spiritual battle going on. I'm not proselytizing, but I've come to that conclusion reluctantly.
Expand on that. Go on, just for a minute, please.
The British press makes a lot of mockery of people who talk like this, so I'm a little bit hesitant, but I'll just talk with my readers. You know, look at how demonic, right? The targeting of every day I report on the Pfizer documents, and this injection deforms babies in the womb. This injection, these policies suppress the breathing of children, you know, masking. These policies make it impossible for parents to protect their children. These policies are aimed at breaking up the family, putting the state in place of the family when it comes to decision making about children. These policies enslave people effectively, and I'm surprised other people who are feminists aren't noticing. When you can't decide what happens with what goes into your body, you're really no longer a free person. It habituates you to be enslaved. These policies are aimed at telling people not to hug their elderly grandparents because of something that just isn't true, right? I mean, vaccination doesn't save people from infecting other people, as it turns out. So lie upon lie upon lie. We talked about make it impossible for congregations to worship together. Well, that's essentially killed off. You know, in 2 years, people have stopped remembering what Passover is like. They've stopped going to church because their relationships are dead or it's not the same. So the scale and complexity of this is like beyond what human beings can do. And just the energy of it in the depth of the lockdown, that was a satanic kind of energy. You know, it was like God just washed his hands of us. At least it felt like something very dark was mobilizing around the world. I guess where I'm going with that is I personally concluded that it was too sophisticated a structure of evil. It's like Milton, right? Like Inferno is so much more interesting than Paradiso. And Satan is such an interesting character. I concluded that human beings with malevolent intent didn't have the skills to pull that off. And that there was a level of like spiritual darkness I couldn't even explain rationally. And as a consequence, I kind of concluded that God must exist because these negative entities and structures and policies existed.
Michelle, that's Naomi Wolf, secular Jewish intellectual, not prone to be thinking about God, but observing our times. And I'd love to sit down with her because she's obviously come to a startling conclusion. Hey, world, I'm seeing so much evil. There has to be a Satan. All right, by default, there has to be a God. I'm just wondering how many other secular people are starting to think this way.
Well, she's an honest leftist, and she was a seeker of truth. And the scripture says, those who seek me will find me. She may not even know that she was on a path as a seeker looking for truth. Certainly, she didn't understand perhaps that she was looking for a savior, but she found a savior. We don't know what exactly she found, but she did give her faith story that she had to conclude that there was a God. So I would encourage everyone, pray for Naomi Wolf. God used COVID in her life to bring her to a position of faith. And so I would encourage everyone to realize that there is no one beyond hope. God is for everyone. He wants to reach everyone. And so with all of the distress that is upon the earth, God can use this distress as a moment to bring people to himself. Remember, Jesus is going to come back when the fullness of the Gentiles has ended, when the last person has come into the kingdom. So this is a time for us to pray into this, for more people to come into the kingdom. So I'm grateful that you ran this clip because this was a very high-profile leftist who was not on the same side of the issues as a lot of the people in this audience. But she completely came to a different perspective of anti-God to God. Why? Because she saw wickedness. She saw evil at such an extent that she knew there had to be a God. That is a God of love, because we don't respond to evil. We don't respond to hate. We respond to love. It reminds me of the verse in the book of Jude that says, it is his kindness that leads us to repentance. Mm. So, Father, I pray for your kindness to be made known to people all across the world, to lead us to repentance. That's the posture we need prior to your coming. I pray for all of those souls to come into your kingdom now, oh Father, through your kindness that leads us to repentance. Mm-hmm.
You know, Michelle, you ran for president in 2012. I'm just going to give a couple of bullet points here of things that are going on as we speak that even in 2012, I don't think the imagination could have come up with. I mean, we've got literal talks of a potential nuclear war in Ukraine, food shortages, talk of a global famine. Again, the globalist shenanigans that we've spent almost an hour on here. We've got rampant lawlessness. We've got the decline of America as a superpower. We've got Iran threatening Israel and the likelihood of a Mideast conflict of some kind with Israel striking Iran's nuclear reactors. Could you have even imagined this 2012, even 3 years ago?
No, the problems that we were looking at then look pretty pedestrian compared to the problems that we're dealing with today. These are existential threats. Almost everything that's threatening America, our southern border being wide open. It was just weeks ago when George W. Bush was a target for assassination because of people coming through our southern border. Almost everything is an existential threat right now. And by that, I mean the continued existence of the United States as a nation state. That's the type of threat that we're under. But even with all of this coming, this points to the hour that we're at in world history, and it points to the hour that we're at in God's history, biblical history, but it points to the kindness of God, that he's allowing us to go through these times. Remember again, we are so fortunate to live in this period of time. We live in the days that the prophets long to see. And so he's given us clarity. Technology has been for our benefit too, not just for Satan's use. It's been for God's use. But for technology, we wouldn't be able to so quickly have a Gideon's army that can speak to each other, where we can encourage each other. We can love each other. And as the world is focusing on hate, let's focus on love, on God's kindness, on his care as we reach out to the least of those among us. This is a time when we continue to rejoice in him. Every morning I wake up and I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I keep saying it until I believe it, because it's true. As we see darkness around us, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And until the day he takes us, that will be true.
Again, Michelle is Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University, regent.edu. Michelle, I'm going to wrap this hour up. There's so much more we actually could talk about. You've been in Israel here in the last week or two. Again, as we speak, one thing I find just totally intriguing is that with the door to Russian natural gas closing, the EU is turning to Israel for its supply of natural gas. Amazing times. Whoever could have dreamed that this scenario, Europe turning to Israel to make up for the supply
absolutely
they used to get from Russia.
I think it all is a part of this end time story.
Exactly.
And I'm so grateful to have been there because believers from all over the world met in Jerusalem. I'm the co-chair of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. It was our fifth year. And we all met together at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Jerusalem to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So no matter what is occurring, we need to do what God says. And until he returns, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Our job is to bless Israel. Even if our government is cursing Israel, It is our job to bless Israel and the Jewish people. There is blessing in that.
I'm going to go out of the program. First of all, thank you for coming in, Michelle. Appreciate it. You have been a real globetrotter here in the last several weeks. And thank you for the role you had in waking up the remnant and Gideon's army and everything to the shenanigans of the World Health Organization. But folks, no matter what is going on in this world, no matter what evil ensues, we are told we can have peace and calm in his presence. No matter who sits in government, we can have assurance in knowing God sits on the throne. No matter how dim things seem to be, or how dark things get in this world, we can know with certainty in our hearts that the sun, S-O-N, still shines. In John 16, Jesus states, "I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I want to thank you for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. It is a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. We have a front row seat to watch predicted end time events cause all things predicted to fall into place.